Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us for this Friday study edition of Basic Gospel. As today we continue in our study through the book of 1 John. We're excited to bring it to you, and we hope you're able to join us for each of these Friday sessions as we move through the pages of this letter from the Apostle John. And to get us underway, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to talk about the commandments today.
And, oh, good.
And we're not going to talk about the Ten Commandments. We're going to talk about the commandments that God is really interested in us living out, yeah, and doing. And John is very clear. He's going to boil those down to two. And I think when we kind of read through this passage, and it'll be 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24 today, we're going to see one of the most powerful messages on the Christian life that we will ever see in any other part of the Bible. Yeah. I mean, this is really electrifying that God can simplify it for us in such a way that it makes sense, it's clear, and he gives us the how behind it. He's not just saying, hey, this is what you're supposed to do, go do it. But he is going to actually infuse us with himself so that his life will be carried out through us. That is the result of these commandments. Yeah. So that's what we're going to talk about today. It's not a frightening thing. This is going to be an exciting message of hope, an exciting message of truth, an exciting message of the grace of God. So let's dive in. So he's going to start right out of the chute. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So what's the commandment? Well, there it is, that we should love one another. Now, I love how he starts. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning. So John isn't coming up with anything new. He isn't making up a new message to deliver out there. He's not creating something that's going to tickle the ears. This is consistent. This is consistent with the Word of God from the very beginning, that we should love one another. Now, the problem has always been the how. How are we going to do that? Back in Deuteronomy, we see that all the commandments come down to two, that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and then we should love our neighbor as ourselves. So how did they do that? And that was the question. How are we supposed to do that? And they didn't do it very well.
No.
They didn't do it very well at all. But God said, there's going to come a time where I'm going to do something to your heart so that this could be a reality inside of you. Well, that time came in the person of Jesus Christ. When we come to faith in Jesus, then we get a brand new heart. He's circumcised that heart. He's made us alive inside. He's given us his Spirit. And so this should can actually become a reality for those who have been born again of the Spirit of God. So this is a consistent message. This is a message that has been there from the very beginning. So it's not like he's surprising us with a whole new twist,
right,
with something that's just out there in left field somewhere. So this is from the beginning, that we should love one another. And he says, now, we shouldn't be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. So a couple of weeks ago, when we were in the early verses of this particular chapter, we were showing the contrast between the children of light and the children of darkness. Mm-hmm. And here's a real-life example from the Old Testament. So who did Cain belong to? He was of the evil one. He was of the devil. And that's exactly what he talked about up in verse 10. Of this chapter. We will know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. And we see that in this real life story of Cain and Abel. So John really loves these contrasts, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We see light and darkness. We see love and hate. We see in the fellowship, the genuine fellowship. We see a counterfeit. We see the belief that Jesus is God. We see the antithesis of that, that he didn't come in the flesh, that he's not God. We see all of these very clear lines contrasting the true thing and the false thing. And that's what we see here as well. And what he's going to tell us in this chapter is that those who are the true believers, those who have really come to know Jesus, who have been born again, who have Christ living inside of them, those are the ones that this should is going to become the reality. Why? Because Christ's love has been poured out in their hearts. Now, it's kind of interesting. John would like everybody that he's talking to be able to carry this out. But he knows that there are some who are hearing this letter being read to them way back then, and some that are reading this letter now, that aren't going to be part of the genuine fellowship, aren't going to be part of the ones who have been truly born again. So it's going to remain a should for them until they come to the point and ask, well, how is that going to happen? And then at that point, the gospel message makes sense. It becomes relevant in their situation. But if they don't really care about loving others as God has expressed love to them, then this is just going to be a should. It's going to remain a should. But yeah, those who are in Christ, it's no longer a should. This is a reality. Yeah. Now, as believers in Christ, we carry out this command in a world that hates us. And that's why it's so difficult. That's why we need the power of God's Spirit inside of us. Apart from God's Spirit, we're just going to blend in with the world. We're going to conform to the pattern of this world. But because God's seed lives in us, because he abides in us, then we can carry out who we are. We can live out who we are as children of God in this world that hates us. And boy, that's hopeful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And again, here's the contrast. Everything that the false teachers were presenting in Ephesus and other places, John turns on its head and brings the truth out in Jesus Christ. And their message was, if you've got this special stuff like we do, then the world will love you. And John says, no, that's not how it works. When you've got the love of Christ in you, you will love the world.
Yeah,
in terms of wanting to reach out to
the people. Yes.
But don't expect the world to like what you do.
Yeah.
They're going to hate what you do because you represent something that is antithetical to everything they believe.
Yeah, I remember when I came to Christ and decided I wanted to be in ministry, and I just knew everybody was going to be thrilled with that decision, that they were just going to jump on board with me and encourage me. And that wasn't the case. I mean, that just wasn't the case at all. And there was a time here in our American culture that the least respected person in society was the pastor. Just in the last 50 years, I think that has changed of late. But the world isn't sitting back applauding our efforts to get the good news out. Mm-hmm. Now, there's this story of the young missionary that just was killed over on that island as he was going over there to share Christ. And you read all of the feedback to that, and boy, there is a lot of negative.
Yeah.
How could he do such a thing, endanger those with diseases from, you know, out there they're not immune to, and that sort of thing? It was cruel, and yet his heart, when you read his journal, his heart was, I just want to go into a place and tell these people about Jesus. I know they're lost, they're dead in sin, they need the life of Christ. I want to be the one that tells them about Jesus. That was his heart, that was his motivation. And yet the world looks at that in hatred and says, how could he do such a thing? So if we're going to love people, that's the world that we're going to have to share that love in. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it difficult, and that's why we need to rely on the Spirit of God. And that's why only those who have been born again of the Spirit of God can have a genuine experience of loving others, yeah, because this kind of love does not come from the world.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks for those thoughts. And friends, we're glad that you're with us for today's study through the book of 1 John. If you miss any of the sessions or would like a review of them, you can listen again by visiting basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire archive is there, and we hope you'll share it with others who want to know and learn and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the archive is open freely to everyone at basicgospel.net/teaching.
Well, thanks, Bob. So let's just keep going. So in verses 14, it says this, that we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. So love is the fruit. It's the fruit of this new life that we have in Christ. And the fact that fruit is being expressed through us is evidence that we truly have been born again, that we've been made alive together with Christ, that we have crossed over from death to life. So if you want some assurance of salvation, when you see the fruit of love flowing through you, that's some pretty good assurance. And now he draws the contrast again. Those who hate, they live in death, they abide in death. And that hate is the fruit of who they are as, yes, as people who are lost, who are dead in trespasses and sins. And then he goes on to say that everyone who hates, and this is some pretty strong words here, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And boy, we see that out in the world. If you were to ask what is God like, and somebody would say, well, just look out on his creation. Look out on the people that he made in his image. And you would look out there in the world today and say, wow, that is really one bizarre God. He's a murderer. He's an adulterer. He's a liar. Why? Because that's what we see out there in that world of darkness. And here John is really making that strong statement that everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Why? Because you're trying to rob them of life, of any type of life. Now, he moves on and he says, all right, so if we're to love one another, what does that love look like? What is the essence of it? What is its characteristic? And we see that in the next two verses, or next three, verses 16 through 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. So how did God demonstrate his love for us? Well, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. So we see what love is all about in the work of Jesus Christ. And we see it's a sacrificial love. Mm-hmm. So we're sacrificing ourselves, our wants, our desires for the good of somebody else. And so that's what he says. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So if we're going to love as God and Christ has loved us, then the essence of our love is going to be sacrificial.
Yes.
And we don't see a lot of that in this world where convenience is our priority. We don't want to be inconvenienced in any way, shape, or form. I mean, heck, we won't even walk across 5 feet to turn the channel on a TV. We've got to have a remote control.
Or three or four.
Now, and now we don't even want to use our thumb to push a button. We just want to say, Alexa, change the channel. That's where we are in this world. We're convenience driven. But love is not that. Mm-hmm. Love is different from that. Love sacrifices. It is sacrificial. Now, how are we going to be sacrificial when everything around us is convenience driven? Well, only through the power of Christ Jesus. There are folks that pay to go to remote places of the world to share Christ. I mean, they have to pay their own money to get there. And then when they're there, Gina and I have done this, and I think you've done this as well. I mean, you're sleeping in, on hard beds. You don't have air conditioning. You can barely take a shower maybe once a week or something like that. Why do you do that? Well, because there's something deeper inside of you. It's called the love of God. And so you express that love, and oftentimes there's a sacrificial element to it. And that's exactly what he's saying here in these deals. The other aspect of love, it's not just talk. Boy, we can talk a good game about love. But that's not what real love is all about.
Yeah, so, usually when I'm talking about love, it's what I want you to do for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've nailed it right there. So he says to us, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And that's what we see with the love of God. The love of God rolls up its sleeves and gets down there with us. And does stuff for us that we can't do for ourselves. That was the love of God. And so when Paul says love is patient, that's a verb. That's an action. And so we're not just talking about being patient with somebody. We're suffering long with them. We're just right there with them. When Paul says love is kind, he's not talking about an emotional disposition towards somebody. He's talking about acts of kindness, doing something for somebody that's going to benefit them. What did God do? He saved us in kindness. He regenerated us and gave us the gift of his Spirit. He did something for us. And so love has that characteristic as well, as that popular book says, love does. And so as we abide in the vine of Christ Jesus, we're going to see the life of Christ Jesus doing things in and through us. That's just the nature of it. Christ isn't passive. He is active. He is aggressive. As we abide in him, we're going to see that river of life, man, just flowing through us into the lives of people in wonderful, tangible ways.
Absolutely. Well, it's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. And friends, we're glad that you're with us for the study through 1 John. And in addition to this study, we have a lot of resources to help you understand the New Covenant, and you can find them all under the Resources tab at basicgospel.net. And to help us continue to be on the air and online, we need your continued support. We need to produce new resources. We need to spread this message to new radio stations and new listeners. We just need your help to do all of those things. So check out the resources available, and when you do, please click that donate button and help Basic Gospel keep this good news coming. We'll be thankful for your partnership. Now back to our study in this book of 1 John. An exciting study it is, guys.
Yes, indeed. So now we're going to get into more of kind of the how in these commandments. And before John really gets into the meat of that, he gives a couple of statements about assurance. And he wants to assure our hearts. He wants us to live in that assurance as children of God. That's one of the reasons he wrote this particular letter, so that we might know that we have eternal life, that we might know that we truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of those sections where he gives us some assurance. And so in verse 19, he says this, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. So how are we going to know that? Well, we're going to know that by witnessing, seeing the fruit of love being expressed through us, not just in talk, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. So when we see that coming out of us, that gives us some assurance. And now he says this, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Well, sometimes our deeds, our actions, don't line up with the truth of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so our minds start to wonder. We get these feelings of guilt and this note of accusation, and those things start to weigh heavy on us. Well, If that's the case, we have to realize that God is greater than our hearts. And yes. He's alive living in us, and he can plow through that with us and bring us back to that point of assurance, that place of assurance. Mm-hmm. And boy, what good news is that?
Yeah.
So our assurance is not left up to us to just cling on to it. God's power, God's life, God's presence in us is really our assurance, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. And notice how this fits together. I mean, if you're hearing this and you're saying, oh, man, I need to be loving people more, and you go out there into the world, whatever your world is, and you try to start loving people, you're going to crash and burn because it's not natural to us. John is absolutely talking about the inside-out reality of God's love filling us and then overflowing to others. And when we've got that nailed down, then he really is greater than our hearts. Because my heart's going to say, I don't want to love.
Yes.
But the Spirit's going to say, well, let's give it a try. Let me show you how. Let me do something through you. And it becomes an easy task. Not always easy in the terms of how difficult it is to do, but it's easy in terms of motivation.
Yes.
It's part of us now because God is greater than our hearts, and he gives us that assurance.
Yes, indeed. Now, this word heart is a very interesting word. It has several different layers of understanding to it. And the prime understanding is this, that it is the seat and center of human life. It is the seat of the desires, feelings, affections, passions, impulses. And it represents the sphere of God's influence in the human life. So when we come to Christ, we get a new heart.
Yeah.
We get an obedient heart. We get a heart that truly believes and trusts in Jesus Christ. But this word also can refer to the intellect or the mind or our understanding of things. And so sometimes our mind is not in alignment with this new heart that we have.
Yeah, think the battle between flesh and spirit.
Yes, yes. So it's not that our mind is flesh, but our understanding of what's going on doesn't match. And so we're seeing that conflict.
Yeah.
And that's where the flesh may jump in and say, hey, you call yourself a Christian and you're doing that. And so that's where that condemnation can come from. So that's what I think he's referring to here. And I think we need to get back to this truth that Paul gives us in Romans 5, that God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So in these new hearts of ours, we have the love of God in it. And that's why that love can be expressed through us to others. So this gets down to the how. And this is where these commandments in John 1 John 3:23 are so important. And they are these, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another. So our love for one another hinges on our belief in Jesus Christ. Paul put it like this in Galatians 5:6. It is faith expressing itself in love. So as we abide in Jesus, that's what faith is. That's just living in Jesus Christ. As we live in him and he lives in us, the fruit of that is loving one another.
Yes.
That's good news. So keeping his commandments, walking by faith in Jesus, loving one another is the same as abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us. That's all part of this package of being a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Indeed it is. Well, guys, another very insightful study through the book of 1 John. And friends, thank you for being with us for this installment. If you missed any of these sessions, you can review them at basicgospel.net/teaching. And we'll continue in this series next week at the same time, and I sure hope you'll be with us too. In the meantime, if you have a question about anything you've heard or a particular question from the Bible, give us a call on the 24-hour listener line. That number, 844-322-2742. Leave us a voicemail, or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. But once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742, is available 24 hours a day to serve you. Or the email address, bob@basicgospel.net. And today, as we close, please remember this ministry and your giving. We would love to have your partnership and your support. For Bob and Richard and the team, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll be back on Monday. See you then. Bye-bye.